As we begin this first Sunday of Lent, I'd like to fast forward 5 weeks or so to the gospel, which we will hear proclaimed on Good Friday. It will be taken from the Gospel of St. John, and in that familiar account, Jesus appears before Pilate after being arrested. And Pilate poses one of the most profound and eternally significant questions in all of Scripture. When he turns to Jesus and cynically asks, "What is truth?" It was a rhetorical question, a sarcastic response to what Jesus had just revealed when he said, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth." 2,000 years later, it seems the whole world expresses Pilate's cynicism. To many, truth is subjective, the individual world of personal preference and private opinion. Others believe truth is a collective judgment, the product of popular opinion and cultural consensus. And still others flatly deny the concept of truth altogether. This attitude is expressed in the common phrase, which I'm sure you've all heard, "my truth." It's often used by people as a convenient phrase for avoiding arguments because people can contradict your opinion, but not your truth. In preparation for this morning, I Googled my truth and found a definition from the Urban Dictionary. They write, "The phrase my truth is often used when seeking to justify a controversial personal stance or action because people are not allowed to argue with your truth. My truth is a pretentious substitute for non-negotiable personal opinion." And then they give an example of my truth through an exchange between these two friends, Margaret and Sharon. Margaret says, "I'm leaving my husband. He's a really good, faithful guy and all, but I just don't love him anymore. It was a tough decision, but I have to stand in my truth." And her friend Sharon responds, "You are so brave. I'm so proud of you for being true to yourself. Stay strong, sister. You go, girl." Well, obviously, as Catholics, we have a very different understanding of truth. Based on what we find in the Bible, truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, glory, and being of God. To put it more succinctly, truth is the self-expression or the self-revelation of God. That is the biblical meaning of truth. God is the author of truth, the source of truth, the ultimate standard and final judge of all that is true. And our biblical understanding of truth tells us that when we make ourselves the criterion of good and evil, we are led to destruction. We see that in our first reading this morning from the book of Genesis. God gives Adam and Eve the beauty and the perfection of the Garden of Eden. He wants them to be happy and fully alive as human beings. And so out of the ground, the scripture tells us, God grew every kind of tree and bush that was beautiful to look at, and we've all seen, especially in the spring, beautiful trees and blossoms, but also trees and foliage that produce food for Adam and Eve in great abundance. And Adam and Eve are at play in the garden. All those things that make life rich and wonderful are present initially in the Garden of Eden. Which is evidence that we do not have a stingy or a jealous God. He rejoices in our human flourishing. And the only prohibition was to refrain from eating from one single tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree, that's it. They could have everything else. And I know we focus on this one prohibition, but we need to remember the abundant permission to eat and to gaze upon the beauty of everything else in the garden, and that that comes before the prohibition. But the serpent tempts Adam and Eve to find their own truth rather than God's truth. The serpent cynically says to the woman, look, you're not going to die. I know God said you would, but the only reason he's doing that is that he knows very well that the moment you eat of that fruit, your eyes are going to be opened, and you will be like a God who knows the difference between good and evil. You yourself will walk in your truth. In this account of creation, Adam and Eve teach us that when we adjust our mind to the truth of God, things go very well. But when we are out of step with objective truth, we get into trouble. Obedience to God leads to us being fully alive. Disobedience leads to unhappiness and death. Let me offer two examples, I think, that help to illustrate this point about the consequences of relying on our truth rather than the objective truth which comes from God. The first example is misguided. The second is actually dangerous. First, my own doctor and my healthcare comes through the Providence system. And I have an online account called MyChart. Maybe some of you have that as well. If you go onto MyChart, in addition to wanting under the personal section, my name and ethnicity and my age, they also have a box which reads, sex assigned at birth. Now, when I came to that, I left it blank because I said to myself, I'm not participating in a medical program that asks me my sex assigned at birth, because the question implies that although I may be scientifically a male, I may not now identify as a male. That may not be my truth. Now, to carry through the point a little further, if I did somehow manifest that, yes, I look like a male and everything, but I'm actually a woman, there's a woman trapped inside, and that my truth is that I identify as a woman, my hope is that you would not ridicule me or beat me up or laugh at me. No. Instead, in imitation of Jesus, I would hope that you would accompany me and love me and gently lead me to the objective truth about who I am, created in the image and likeness of God. The second example of the consequence of living our own truth is not just misguided, it's actually dangerous. Some of you will remember the movie Schindler's List. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth it. There's a scene in the Schindler's List of the German soldiers liquidating the Jewish ghetto in Poland. They were confiscating property and marching men, women, and children in single file to the cattle cars. And standing next to one of the lines of terrified Jews was a little German girl screaming in German, "Dirty Jew." And I, every time I see that scene, I am stunned once again. The formation of that little girl led her to express her truth, her family's truth, her neighborhood's truth, that Jews were no better than vermin, instead of reflecting the objective truth that these people were equal in dignity as human beings created in the image and likeness of God. The sanctity of the life of a Jew was no less than the German people. Pope St. John Paul II once said, "Since God is goodness itself, He is the criterion by which good and evil are determined." The season of Lent highlights the battle between good and evil. And today we see that battle unfolding in the gospel as Satan attempts to tempt Jesus. And we see that battle unfold in our first reading, where Satan actually wins temporarily in tempting our first parents. And we will see that on Good Friday, when Pilate cynically questions truth as he condemns our Lord to death. As we enter into this battle, we pray for the grace to embrace objective truth, incarnate in Jesus Christ, who proclaimed that he came into the world for one purpose, to testify to the truth.